This is a Willets Point Shea Stadium bound 7 express train. The next and last stop is Willets Point Shea Stadium.
Yes, it is the Subway to Shea podcast. Anthony Rivera here with you talking about all the news and happening surrounding that team from Queens, the New York Mets. Episode 135 from the Subway to Shea studio in my office. First off, a huge thank you to Ernest Dove, baseball reporter and host of the Mets Minor League Report on Sports Wire Radio, and that's sports with a Z. So if you check that out, make sure you add the Z instead of an S in Sports Wire. We recapped the spring breakout game and took a look at what's to come in 2024 for the Mets' top prospects and the farm system in general. Great in-depth info from Ernest, who has the pulse on the minor leagues as he covers the St. Lucie Mets down in Florida. So if you're not doing so right now, please check out Ernest. Follow him on Twitter, X at Ernest Dove, as well as subscribe to his YouTube page where he interviews the Mets prospects. Now, on to this episode, a very special edition of the Subway to Shea podcast. My second show in 3 days. Last weekend, I did the MLB predictions preview show with my guys at the Shane Sons podcast. Today, I'm going to focus more on the Mets and their roster when it comes to predictions and futures and possible betting lines. I'm going to look at these futures over and under predictions as well. So I can't do it alone. I brought on a good friend of mine, Justin Fensterman, aka Fensty, in the house. You can catch him on SiriusXM Fantasy and Fantasy Guru, where he covers the NBA and NFL. But he is a huge New York Mets fan. Fensty, my friend, how are you?
Tony Rivers, it's so great being back with you. Even getting to call you that, man, when we were working together at the Better Sports Network and we created some magic, you, me, AB, Adam Bernard. It was just so much fun. And some of that fun was actually talking about how stressful and how not fun it is being a Mets fan sometime. And it's so great, Subway to Shea, because I could tell you, as someone from Long Island who would always take the train in the Port Washington line, the express from Great Neck right to Shea Stadium, you'd be there in a flash in like 15 minutes. I lived at Shea Stadium from the years and from the summers of 2003 until 2008, man. I just love going to games at Shea Stadium. I miss it so much.
Yeah, Shea was like they always say it's a dump, but it was like our dump, right? Yep. Like, yep. You know, when the whole process of coming up with this podcast came to be and trying to think of names, and every Mets podcast name was taken, right? Like, there's a lot of oversaturation of the podcast, a lot of good podcasts out there that I, you know, work with, that I'm friends with, but the Mets name was taken in so many different forms and fashion. And I was like, you know what? Huge fan of Shea Stadium, still love it to this day. The neon lights meant so much to me as a kid growing up and passing by in the evenings of the Shea Stadium days. Why not go with Subway to Shea? It seemed like it rhymed well and worked well with each other. So that's how that came about. And like you mentioned, we linked up on, you know, Better Sports Network. I was just supposed to be a extra fill-in on that playbook show. And then we kind of hit it off. And then we had all those fun times putting together the team reports for the fantasy baseball season. And there we have it. And then we found out we have so much more in common. Wrestling, 90s stuff. So we might have to talk later about some kind of a podcast later on. But you know what? Tell everybody about your fandom. You had that Carlos Beltran shirt that you showed me off the air. Bring that up, man. Let's hear about it.
Man, so when it comes to my memories with the Mets, I mean, I've been very fortunate, Anthony, because I was at both World Series Game 3s in 2000 and 2015. And those were the only games the Mets won in those respective World Series games. I remember it. I remember when you had everybody hitting in 2015 Game 3. And then when it came to 2000, it would Benny Agbayani hit one off the center field wall, and you see the Hawaiian Punch logo flashing on the board with Who Let the Dogs Out playing. I'll never forget that. I work a lot with Steve Phillips, and I've talked to him about that. I've worked with Cliff Floyd before as well. And I've gotten to talk, without being too much of a fanboy, just talking about how much the 2016 meant to me. Even someone in college, where you're in college, you're in your own world. We were in our dorm rooms watching every minute of that, growing a stupid playoff beard. You can rock the beard. I can't rock the beard. It looks awful. And then this shirtsy right here is the shirtsy that I was in when someone at my college, American University, pulled the fire alarm at about 1:30 in the morning on like the first night of school. And I met my future wife wearing this shirt.
That is amazing. That's amazing right there. It's funny too. You know, you went to the two World Series games, 2-0. I've been to two playoff games. I went to the Evgeny Agbayani home run against in 2000, and then in 2022 the final DeGrom game. So we are a combined 4-0. So the next time the Mets go to the playoffs, I think we have to go to a game together and kind of make this whole series work out.
Yep, I was also at game one of the NLCS against the Cubs, where Matt Harvey just dominated for most of the game, and it was just such an awesome game. And even seeing the Mets in the playoffs is just something so special, because growing up in New York, where I grew up on Long Island on the North Shore, everyone's a Yankee fan. Most of my friends were Yankees fans. They were seeing World Series after World Series after World Series. We're seeing Kenny Rogers walk in batters to lose series. And it's when you have those special moments like the Mike Piazza home run in 2001, just extra, extra special. One of my favorite moment, Anthony, live as a Mets fan, was in 2006 when the Mets and Yankees, the Subway Series that year, seeing David Wright hit a fly ball over Johnny Damon's head. Paul Laduca comes in to score with his arms in the air. They just beat Mariano Rivera. Yankees fans are crying, rushing to the door. We're all celebrating. I've never felt energy like I did that night. I don't know if you remember that specific game I was talking about.
I do remember that game, and I went two nights later. It was the Sunday night game on ESPN, and Carlos Delgado hit a three-run home run. David Wright came up after him and hit an absolute moonshot out of the stadium. And this was at the height of the Subway Series. When you have two teams that are that good that in the same year, the Subway Series seems to take on a life of its own when that happens. And like that season, when both teams were in first place and were playing the way they were, and 2006, it will always be the season that got away to me. I started watching baseball in 1998, right before Piazza came into the trade. I started at the beginning of that season and been watching ever since. And to this day, that 2006 roster to me will always be the best all around, like lineup and bench, bullpen. And if they were healthy, I think that rotation was one of the best.
They had so many guys that you just loved. Jose Valentin. I mean, come on, Ramon Castro. Like, you knew when Ramon Castro was coming up, the ball was either going to the warning track or it was going over the wall.
Yeah.
And something was happening. You know, Sean Green. The team just had magic. Everybody was able to hit. And that was the fun thing. And Wright and Reyes, and I have a few pieces of sports memorabilia, as you see all around here, but I've got a few others with Wright and Reyes celebrating after they won the division with the shirts on and everything like that. And man, just 2006, it's 2015 was special. But if you had to put the 2015 team, the 2000 team, and the 06 team in there, and you said, hey, Fensty, which one of these three teams do you think has the best chance? That 06 team to me was the team of destiny, and it was cut short. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy that Adam Wainwright got that final strikeout, and he just retired in the last few months. It's just crazy to see the longevity with some players in this league.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's been torturing us for two decades almost. Even in regular season, he tortures us. But like, yeah, you said Ramon Castro, Jose Valentin. I even look back at like some of the pieces of the bullpen. Chad Bradford, yep. Side armor, Darren Oliver. I mean, Pedro Feliciano, perpetual right. Pedro.
Chad Bradford, the submariner. You saw nothing like that. Who can pitch where the ball is literally scraping the sand off the floor and everything like that? It's absolutely amazing what they had. I love Billy Wagner. I know Mets fans and us with closers, never a good thing in postseason, whether it's Armando Benitez. Billy Wagner had his problem in the NLCS in what, game two of 06? And then, you know, and in game seven, because I couldn't stand Aaron Heilman. Mm. I couldn't stand Aaron Heilman. And then he was number 48. I, at the time, was in college. I rushed a fraternity and my number in the fraternity was 48 and I couldn't stand it. Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult is one of my favorite songs of all time. I do some oldies DJing here in Maryland, and I play that song a lot. And that song was Aaron Heilman's intro song. And I knew whenever that happened, I'd start sweating, kind of like I'm sweating right now. And I just didn't understand. And I don't know if you remember your thought process back then. I didn't understand why you're not bringing in Billy Wagner at that point. That it's game seven. And look, if your closer, and I don't remember where the lineup was at the time, if Wagner would have had to been subbed out or they would have had to do another switcheroo to keep him in. But why you're bringing in Aaron Heilman instead of Wagner, I'll never forget that.
Yeah, to me, the closer always comes in the ninth when you're at home, especially. I don't know if it was a righty lefty thing that you know mixed up Willie Randolph, and that's why he went with Aaron Heilman. And then obviously he got pelted by Yadier Molina and another guy who's recently retired as well. But those memories, they bring back a lot. And a lot of people will argue that their favorite team and the team they think that's been the best since that 98 run to now run is the 99 team that didn't even make it to the World Series.
I agree with that. I think the 99 team was better than the 2000 team. I was a huge John Olerud guy. I thought John Olerud was an all-around athlete that you wanted on your team. Class act, great teammate, great fielder, good hitter. He just had everything. He had also the unique little helmet that he would wear in the field too. I love John Olerud so much. And that 99 team, man, that was just so special. And that was the year, of course, with the Ventura Grand single as well. That was nice. I mean, just that late 90s Mets team, once they got Piazza, which, I mean, I don't know if you know the story. It's been broadcasted all over at this point. Yeah. But Mike and the Mad Dog, Mike Francesa and Chris Mad Dog Russo, they engineered Mike Piazza coming to New York. Because his agent had called them and they started saying this team needs Piazza, and Steve Phillips was like, no, they don't. And then everyone started calling the offices. The power of the people, my man. And that's what, again, that's what makes the Mets special. Everybody makes fun of the Mets. I think that the Mets are the most made fun of team in sports. And even Family Guy picked on the Mets. They with that famous scene right there. Oh, welcome to the season. Oh, the season's over. And to be a Mets fan, you really have to have a lot of pride and you have to have a lot of patience. And I think one day, even though all of their magic was essentially sent in 1986, and that by that point, I was in the womb. I wasn't born yet for them to win that series against Boston. Mets fans deserve another World Series. I just don't think it's going to happen for another few years. When I say few years, I'm talking 5 to 10.
Yeah, hopefully it's a little faster than that. But they have a lot of youth coming up in the farm system, so we'll see how that goes, and we'll see what happens with some of the guys on this roster. Someone that we're going to talk about right now, Pete Alonso. Let's get into some of these betting futures, and we discussed it off air that we were going to go off of DraftKings and have that be where we got that. And the first one that I have, we're going to do a couple Pete Alonso ones. First one that I have is a Pete Alonso regular season total home runs over under 25.5, and that's the over is plus 100, the under minus 120. Did I get that right? Yes.
I think it should be more than that.
Shouldn't it be more than 25?
Dude, if not, I'm about to hammer that over right now. It's probably 45.5.
I made the mistake. Yes. It's definitely 45.5. I'm sorry about that.
It's like the next season. Let's start. Oh, the season's over.
Yeah. Definitely 45.5 there. So do you have, because he hit, let's go over his season last year. 46 home runs, had a 217 batting average, 118 RBIs, 123. Hits. You go over his career, right? 53 homers, 16, which was the COVID year, 37, 40, 46, keeps on rising. So 45.5, are you taking the over or the under on that?
I'm taking the over on that. I think it's going to be a sweat, but I think you're going to see him in that 47 to 52 range at the end of the day. And there's a lot behind it. Number one, a charitable cause. And everyone, and that's, by the way, face move right there from Pete Alonso. All of a sudden, maybe be tweener because of Boris. Face move with the charitable cause for the animals and everything, for the dogs, especially as a dog owner, hits the heart. But he's playing for something here. He's at this point showcasing himself this year. We don't know if he's going to be a Met next year. We just don't know. You'd like to think that they're going to keep him because you want to be able to keep somebody really, really established and lock him up long-term like David Wright did, because it connects with the fans. Was David Wright the best player in baseball ever? No. But if you ask any Met fan here what their favorite part about being a Met fan was back then. You were Captain David Wright was somebody that you're just able to associate with. He wasn't larger than life like a Michael Jordan personality or a Barkley personality or anything like that. Pete Alonso has those similar traits, at least to me. I want to see him locked up. I wish it would have happened already. So I think at this point, if you're Pete Alonso and you're the entire team around him, he's making it like he's auditioning for other teams, wants to get max value wherever he goes, even though I think at the end of the day, he'll remain a Met. I've got the over on that. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I have the over. I'm thinking more 47 to 50 range. 50, okay. If he gets over 52, more power to him. And it could be that kind of, Aaron Judge-esque type season. He was on his free agent year with the Yankees, and he absolutely crushed the home run record in the American League. I mean, this is something that I do see a guy like Pete being able to do. My only concern is the fact that he never has anyone behind him to protect him. So there may be some point in time where we start seeing, pitchers start to walk him and take away some at bats from him. But I do think no matter what, that he will hit that over, especially if he stays 100% healthy, at least around 46, 47 to 50-ish type range. Every year it's gone up, right? 37, 40, 46. He only hit 53 and that was his rookie year. So I assume at some point one of those years is going to return and he'll hit 50 or more home runs. But it'll be nice if the Mets can re-sign him in the offseason. I think that they will. They have a lot of money coming off of the books. Once the season's over, they'll have to revamp the pitching staff again. And a lot of the money where there was Verlander, Scherzer, that'll all that should be gone unless Verlander reaches a certain amount of innings. Also with Pete Alonso, I want to go into total RBIs. I'm also going to take the over here. It's over under 108.5. And I'm going to take the over on that. I'm trying to find where did I put the minus 125 over, plus 105 under. It's same thing here for me. Over when it comes to RBIs. He had 118 last year. He had even more in 2021. I think that was his career high. I think he's going to go way over this, maybe 120, 125.
To see him do what he's been doing, even hitting less than 220, makes me confident in that as well. And a lot of people when they wager, by the way, Anthony, is they focus on plus money. Stop doing that. Win the bet. And don't go too juiced up, like minus 150 beyond. That's too juicy. For me, even minus 140. Minus 125, though, is a sweet spot. And I'm totally fine with that. You just put a bigger dollar amount on the wager. Don't let the odds influence your bets. If you know that Pete Alonso is capable of doing this, not even hitting 220, we're talking contract year. And I do believe, in general, of the contract year. I don't really believe as much in revenge narratives or anything like that when it comes to betting and DFS, because there are a bunch of athletes that have amicable splits with their former team. Then there's no vengeance or anything like that. Not everything's bad blood, but I do believe in extra motivation for contract years, especially in both baseball and football, even more so than in basketball. So with this, I'm with you. I'm thinking that he's going to go over. We saw, 118 last year? And let's say he can hit a little bit better. Imagine if this guy was hitting 235, 240, where he would be. Then we're talking potential MVP, potentially, if the Mets can even contend. So Pete Alonso going over that, I think, is a good bet.
Yeah, last season he hit 217. He's a 251. If you like batting average, I know a lot of people don't like it anymore.
No,
but 251 batting average for his career. I think his best batting average year was 2022. He hit like 270, 275-ish. He was spraying the ball all over the place. Hit less home runs, but I think he was an overall a better hitter in 2022 than he was in 2023. We're going to go to Francisco Lindor now. And they only had total home runs for him. And for Francisco Lindor, it was over under 27.5. Now we look at his stats last season, 254 batting average, 31 home runs, 98 RBIs, 31 stolen bases, 153 hits, the 30-30 guy, maybe a legit MVP candidate along with Pete Alonso. We'll get into that a little bit later. Power and speed has gone up every year he's been with the Mets. What do you have for the over under on the 27.5 home runs for Francisco Lindor?
This is going to be a sweat, but I have it right there at 27. So I would say just under, meaning don't bet it. I think the line is right on point there. And sometimes the best bet is not to make one. I think you're going to see him in that 26 to 27 range. Something that you had just mentioned before, that we have to now now come to light. If they're going to pitch, let's say the Mets really are down to the two hitters, obviously two featured hitters with both Lindor and Pete Alonso. I mean, who would the opposition would rather pitch around? I'm thinking Pete Alonso. So maybe Lindor gets a little bit more love there. I'm thinking if he goes over, you're in a sweat all the way to the end. So I'm thinking that it's going to be just under. So you're going to be around the hook area of 27. What about you?
Yeah, I think it depends on, like you said, is he going to hit in front of Pete? Is he going to hit behind Pete? That's going to be the big question on how they kind of situate this lineup going forward. If he is hitting in front of Pete, I think he's going to get a whole lot better pitch selection, you know, with Pete behind him. Now, not even in betting format, because like you, I don't know if I would take this one. But when it just comes to over and unders, I am going to go over, but only slightly, right? He hit 31 home runs last year. I see him in that 28 to 29 range when it comes to home runs, just maybe a tick backward, maybe a little more RBIs for him this season. But over under, I'll take the 27 and a half over. And when it comes to the betting, like you, I think I'm gonna stay clear of this one. It's a very dicey one when it comes to Francisco Lindor.
A lot of the Mets season are going to come down to that first five in that lineup. That's really all that it comes down to, because there's a big drop off after that. And that's why overall, when it comes, and I'm sure we'll get to some other, you know, futures and stuff, that's why I'm just not as juiced up about the season as I have been in the years past. And I like to remain positive as well. But how many times have we gone into June thinking, wow, look at this team, they could potentially contend, and then August hits and they're gone from playoff contention? It's happened so many times, I feel like, in our lifetime. I think I probably have a few years on you, at least up here in the hair department. But overall, I mean, how many times, Anthony, has that happened, man, where by the end of April, by the end of May, they're contending as a top two team in the division, and then they just die out in the summer after a major West Coast trip?
Yeah, we're always sweating it out because the predictions had us in 2022, 2023, top of the league, deep in the playoffs, going to the World Series. And it's happened like that in years past as well. The one thing is, I don't have to sweat this year. Like I feel a sense of calmness going through this season. Obviously, that can take a turn for the worse. It could take a turn for even the better. But right now, as where the Mets are situated, I think I'm just like at peace with what is happening with this team, what Steve Cohen and David Stearns has been, I guess, preaching throughout their press conferences. They've been on task with what the plan is for the team. And I really like how they've handled this, where in years past, you know, there was a lot of fluff coming from like the Wilpons and, you know, the previous general managers, whoever they were, because we've had so many. But I think this year, just having a little bit of calm and peace with the season, I think is going to be good. I hope Met fans, I know I've seen a lot on X and Twitter and social media, not as happy.
So, well, because they want the big splash. That's why they see the Yankees getting Juan Soto, and there's like, well, where's our big splash? And sometimes, though, it's not about just spending money to spend money, because you'll look cross town on the subway in the city at Madison Square Garden. How many decades did the Knicks mess that up? Just spending and spending and spending just to make a headline in Newsday. And it went nowhere. It went nowhere for the most part. So sometimes building from within is great. I'm just worried, Anthony, that let's just say the Mets are hovering around that 500 area throughout the year, and now they're in contention for maybe one of the final two wild card spots, because I don't think they're going to win that division. It's going to be a tough division. So let's say they're in contention for a wild card spot with the roster that they currently have. The bullpen, very impressed with the bullpen and who they've gotten for that bullpen. I think it's stacked. Edwin Diaz being back. They got to get to them, though, and not be down by 2 to 3 runs most games in order to take advantage of what that bullpen has to offer. If they are around 500, though, by the time that trade deadline rolls around and there's all this, well, maybe this team could go on a run. Well, maybe they can't. Are they going to start cashing in and start making trades and bulking up to try to go on a run? That's where your whole patience mentality, I'm hoping they keep. I'm wondering if all the pressures are going to get to David Stearns and he's going to start making moves if the Mets are in contention for a wild card spot. I'm almost hoping they don't and they just ride out what they have.
Look, the Mets need to, you know, show Pete Alonso and show next year's free agent class that they have improved and that this is somewhat of a destination to come to, because as we've seen in the past, Cohen has all the money in the world. But if players don't want to come here because the team has been bad for so long, they're not going to come here. I mean, look at what, you know, Yamamoto got to go to the Dodgers. He was offered the same amount to come to the Mets, but the Dodgers have a more, you know, kind of storied franchise over the last decade where they've been winning. And that's an easier choice. Obviously, you know, being closer to home helps as well. But the Mets have to become a destination. And if they don't do that, it's going to be tough to wrangle in free agents, even with all the money that Steve Cohen has. Now, I got one more prop, and it's from Francisco Alvarez. Regular season total home runs over under 22.5. Fenty, I'm taking the over here as well. I think he's going to have between 25 to 30 home runs. You look at him last season, the batting average 209, not great. 25 home runs, 63 RBIs for a rookie, 21-year-old, and playing out most of the season. So, you know, sophomore slump, we have to take into accordance with this as well. It could happen. Or will he take it to the next level? And then the next question is, where would you bat him in your lineup? And for me, I think he should go after Pete as that protection. I would understand if they don't do it right now because of, you know, he's still young and they don't want to put that much pressure on him.
But get him used to it. It's New York. It's always going to be true. A lot of pressure. Just, you know, and that's the thing. Just get him the reps now. And even if he doesn't come through, and by the way, I love the over on this one as well. I mean, you're talking about a guy who had over 45% hard hit rate last year. And yes, another guy, low average like Pete, but you're still seeing the power there. He's actually one of the players that I'm most excited about on this team. And when we were preparing for this podcast and I was looking up some futures, I actually put a small wager on the over on 22.5. I think he's going to get there. I think you're going to see him right around that 25 area once again. And if, again, you raise your batting average by 15, 20 points, that can easily be for him another 5-6 home runs right there. I'm thinking that he's going to get there. I'm very excited. And I completely agree 100%. Put him fifth. Really make yourselves powerful. So it's, oh, okay, well, instead of making it the easiest decision, we just won't pitch to Pete and then we'll mess with the rest of the lineup. No, make him pitch to Pete a little bit when you've got two on. Lindor gets on, Pete's up. Pitch to Pete because you know you got a power bat coming up in Alvarez afterwards. So he's actually one of my favorites, and also as someone that normally in fantasy doesn't draft catchers early, he's going at this point as like the ninth catcher off the board. He's one of the few guys that, even though for fantasy, probably not so ideal with the low average, but let's say he drops and drops and it's a two catcher league, I'll take a shot on him.
You know, a funny thing, I picked him up midway through the season in fantasy last year. And every time I pick him up, that's when he went on a slump. I put him back on waivers. He'd hit 5-6 home runs in a row and he was off to the races. Pick him back up again, back into his slump. So, you know, hopefully he can avoid that in this year and be a little more consistent.
Well, you're right. I was looking at that in July, all of a sudden, like April, all of a sudden in July, like right at the beginning of the month, he was hitting home run after home run after home run. Yeah. And then you scroll all the way down the game log and then you see two here, two there, two right at the end of the season. So I noticed that trend along with you as well. So look, at this point with this team, you got to give your youth some experience. They've done a great job in getting rid of their pitching, their old pitching that they did last year with Scherzer and Verlander, and getting guys like Acuna who bring excitement for the future for this organization. By the way, I was at Verlander's last start at my buddy's bachelor party, sitting in one of those suites. I'd never done that before. I ate half my body weight in chicken fingers watching Justin Verlander, and my friend's like, they got rid of Scherzer. They're not getting rid of him. They need to keep someone. I'm like, dude, 2 days, they're getting rid of him. 2 days later, he was gone. And they ended up getting some good prospects back for it. So I think with some of the youth that's ready, that already has the experience, you just got to throw them to the wolves and give them some reps. Reps are the most important thing. And maybe something like a sophomore slump happens early in the year, but then by July, let's just say they're around 500. By July, this guy's hitting again, going to help them get to that wild card spot.
Yeah, he's going to get reps. Brett Beatty's going to get reps. And so is Mark Vientos. The time is now to see if these kids have anything in the tank and to see if they can, you know, prove themselves and be a part of this roster for the long haul. Next thing, we're going to get into pitching real quick. I didn't do any starting pitchers. I was going to, and I said, nah, let's stay away from that. Let's go to saves leader.
Yeah, I couldn't even find any for starting pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, for wins leader, Kodai Senga, Sean Manaea, and Luis Severino were on there at plus 4,000, plus 15,000 for both Manaea and Severino. But like, it's, you know, you're really dicing it up when you get down there. But saves leader, I think, is important because Edwin Diaz is coming back. He didn't play last season. 2022, he was 3-1, 1.31 ERA, 118 strikeouts, and 32 saves. You talked about Billy Wagner, and like, we've seen it, Billy Wagner, Benitez, or Jerry's Familia, John Franco. That season in 2022 is the most, and I don't even care what the ERA is, that was the most dominant I've ever seen a reliever throw. Like, maybe 4 out of 5 times during the week, he would strike out the side. And I'd never seen that with any of the other guys. So, you know, he had his best ERA of his career in 23. The last two seasons he's played, he's saved 32 games. So when it comes to saves leader, Edwin Diaz is at a plus 800. You have Emmanuel Clase from the Cleveland Guardians at plus 450. Josh Hader, who just went to Houston, at plus 650. Are you sprinkling in anything for Edwin Diaz at plus 800?
I mean, look, even if the Mets only win, let's say, fewer than 80 games, I mean, they're going to be close games. He's going to get those opportunities. I'd give it to Hader. I think Hader's a little bit more of a safer play. Also, the odds very appealing for Josh Hader as well. But Diaz, I would give a little bit of love to Diaz. I worry in general about this lineup. Again, we talked about some of the power pieces. I worry about the rest of them. And that's where I'm not so sure if with opportunities for him. Not saying he's going to be great. What we saw in 2022, complete gas the entire time. His closer intro was the best thing in baseball in 2022. Let's be honest. Everyone was talking about it. So if you're going to sprinkle on it, something that's fine. Obviously, one of the most coveted closers in the game, and especially from the fantasy area, small bet it. And the odds will give you that small bet anyway. But for me, I'd rather put a little bit more money on Hader.
All right, I know we're going to move a little bit more quickly because we're running out of time here, but NL MVP, Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso at plus 3,000. And we talked about sprinkling in a little money. Obviously, they were kind of 13th and 14th ranked on DraftKings. You got Ronald Acuna Jr., obviously, at plus 500. Mookie Betts, plus 650. Shohei Ohtani, plus 750. And then you round it out with Fernando Tatis Jr. and Bryce Harper at plus 1,000. Just considering, you know, even you could leave Francisco Lindor out of it, although there's always a possibility. But with Pete Alonso, the storylines, right? Walk year, a lot to prove. Could be this Aaron Judge-esque type season for him. Plus 3,000, we sprinkling a little bit?
You could sprinkle a little bit on it. Again, everybody's going to be watching this guy. I mean, this is going to be one of the top few most coveted pieces in a prize free agent class next year. So, and that's going to be huge. And that's going to be a major storyline throughout the year because this has not gotten done. You listen to all the New York media, it's all they talk about with this team. You would forget that this team has anybody else on it. You turn on the fan, they're always talking about Pete at this point. So I'm totally fine with that. We know the power's there. Thinking the average is going to go up a little bit. Everything we talked about before, the contract year and motivation, the good cause that comes with him hitting home runs, I think that all adds up. And the whole thing is, as long as he stays healthy, plus 3,000, I'll sprinkle a little quiche on it.
We got two more, and these are team futures. I know you've been waiting for this one. The New York Mets wins in 2024 over under 81.5. They have the minus 110. I am going to take the over. I'm trying to be as positive as possible. And I'm not saying they're going to win 90, 95 games. I'm thinking they can get to 82, 83 wins. I had a low 78, 79 and then a high 82, 83, possibly 84 with the current construction of this team.
You know what? I'll say this. I'm not fully with you there. I'm going a little bit under, and I was just in actually the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association's Prop Bets and Futures draft. I won it last year, and one of my final props was actually the Mets under on win totals for 81.5. Again, I always try to be a realist when it comes to the Mets.
Absolutely.
And again, we're committed to building towards the future, and I'm not going to talk myself into the World Series. And look, if this team is just hanging around, but they really don't have the roster, and unless you do a whole overhaul, you know, you're not going to really be able to contend in the playoffs anyway, I'll be happy with that. I just want them to be able to build and have the money to build and to do so. I've got them at a high 82. So do I think it could go over? Yes. But because I think their low is around where they were last year at about 75, maybe even 73, I have to take the under on that, Anthony. At the end of the day, I'm not in love with the pitching staff. I know that we got some encouraging news on Kodai Senga and that recent test, even as recent as the last few days, tests have come back a little bit on the clean side. So what, he could throw again in 6 weeks, but that doesn't mean necessarily he's coming back in 6 weeks. And by the way, want to get your take on this very quickly. If let's say the Mets are 20 games under 500, or they're just getting crushed by June and Senga isn't back, you maybe just not bring Senga back at that point. I mean, if by, let's say, June 15th, you're 15 games under 500. I mean, from the fan experience, you want to see him on the field, but at the same time, you know, you don't want this guy to have a long-term injury or to re-aggravate anything.
Yeah, I get that too. But I mean, if this was like Gerrit Cole, I would say, yeah, I think you'd rest him the rest of the year. But I don't know how serious this injury is. They've kind of been, you know, close to the vest on it. And they said it's clean. They said he's right. Okay. I would kind of prolong his rehab, maybe.
Like see they where did they're with at Edwin Diaz. And everything.
Yeah, like they did with Edwin Diaz. The whole thing was, oh, he might come back in September, right? Like maybe he'll come back and be ready to go in September. And when they were out of it, it's like, you know what? Let's kind of just let it, you know, let him rehab for the rest of the year and be back 100% in spring training and let it happen that way. That, you know, you always, I guess, you don't bet with your heart, I guess, especially when it comes to your teams, you bet with your brain, right? So, you know, I understand like this, like it's like I said, I said between 78 and 82, 83 wins. So that's definitely over and under. I'm trying to think more in line of this being a lot different year. A lot of guys have a lot to prove, especially in the rotation where they're kind of fighting for their baseball and career lives right now. Right. So they need to show out. I got one more. We're going to leave. I had about like three or four of these, but we're going to leave them out. NL East winner. No. NL champs. No. World Series champions. We'll leave out. Maybe we'll revisit
plus 25 it. Million.
Yeah. But to make the playoffs now, you know, you can either do this with your heart or, you know, you said possibly 82, 83 wins, 84 wins, got the Arizona Diamondbacks into the playoffs.
True.
So making the playoffs. Yes. Plus 190. No. Minus 225.
You know what? I mean, look at the odds right here. I mean, no, you're not going to bet no at minus 225 to juice. So you might as well put a little bit of a bet there. They're going to be right around that line, whether or not they make that final spot. And so if you want to put a little cash on it, that's fine. Again, like I said, I could see them winning 82 games, going over the previous over under we were talking about. Maybe that gets them that final spot. Maybe they're just outside. So go and bet it small. Don't bet the farm on that, in my opinion.
Fancy, I can't thank you enough for joining me today. I know we kind of had a little bit of shorter time than we kind of wanted, but 100% appreciate you coming on here and would love to have you on again. Please promote anything that you have going on, what you're working on. Obviously, you cover a lot of fantasy stuff, which we didn't get into today, but let everybody know where they can reach you and contact you, social media, all the nine yards.
Absolutely. Well, very quickly, I'll give you the fantasy rundown here. I'm fine with just about where everybody's going on this team, especially, I mean, maybe with Starling Marte, probably not where he is, but just about everybody else on this team, you're getting at good value. A lot of these guys still on recent draft boards going at 300 plus that we're talking about. So you might as well take a shot. Someone has to perform on this team, but you're spending second round value in 15 teamers on both, of course, Lindor and Pete Alonso. And like I said with Alvarez before, I'm okay in a two catcher league going after him. I think we'll see more power. You can find me, of course, on X at Fence D Sports. You can hear me on Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio. That's Sirius XM Channel 87, Monday through Thursday on a show called Elite Sports Game Time. We cover all the live action, me and my buddy Ray Flowers, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. I also do oldies DJing for Cool Oldies 1450. WTHU, the smallest station in Maryland, but largest in your hearts, of course. And you can find all of my work at fantasyguru.com. I'm their lead NBA analyst. I do a lot of NBA work for them, and I also do some NFL coverage as well.
Fantasy, you're a man of many talents, my friend. And like I said, I've enjoyed our friendship and, you know, just linking up again, especially, you know, after working together at Better Sports Network. And I look forward to working with you even more in the future.
No, absolutely, Tony Rivers. You're a man of class. You're a great guy. We have so much in common. I almost feel like we're related, especially the wrestling, the sports, the 90s nostalgia, which we both have. Some weeks, with the amount of back and forth we go with different like videos we see from the 90s nostalgia handles, I feel like I talk more with you than my own wife, to be honest with you.
You know what? I probably could feel the same way you do. I mean, yes. There's always some video that we're sharing with each other on Instagram or something. But it's been a pleasure, an honor having you on, and we'll definitely do this again one day.
Yes, and we have to go to a game too. I don't care where it is, but maybe I'll come back up. If not this year, next year, we'll go to a game together soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Link up, and we'll definitely do that for sure. Fensty, thanks so much, and you have a great day, man.
You too, man.
All right. That was Justin Fensterman, a.k.a. Fensty. Like you said, follow him on SiriusXM Fantasy and Fantasy Guru. That's going to wrap up Subway to Shay. We'll be back next week with a lot of programming, and I will let you know about all the stuff happening on opening week, probably Sunday or Monday. So make sure you're tuned in on my social medias. That's X, Instagram, and TikTok at Subway to Shay. Listen and subscribe to the Subway to Shay podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Watch and subscribe on YouTube. Give me thumbs up, stars, whatever, leave reviews, do all that stuff, because it helps definitely with the algorithm, and it definitely helps lead more people to the show, especially if you like it. And with that said, thank you so much for tuning in and helping this podcast grow each and every week. It's a pleasure sharing this content with you, and you continue to help with the success of the Subway to Shay brand. And for Anthony Rivera, the Subway to Shay podcast, always remember, never forget, let's go Mets.